Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello and welcome to Contemplations. I am joined by Carl.
Hello.
And I'm Josh. And we're going to be talking about today in a two-part series whether UFOs are possible in this first one, as well as going through some of the cases. And then in the second one, we're going to be going through some of the most compelling cases or the ones that are most widely known about and giving our opinions on them, because I think that this is actually something that does warrant some serious thought. And I never thought I'd be saying that, but I think evaluating the evidence here is quite important, because of course the cost of dismissing UFOs and then them actually being real is probably quite high. We could be missing out on lots of technology that they might give us. They might be friendly, also they might be very hostile, so there are lots of things to consider here. But I think the first thing to mention is the distinction between UFOs and UAPs, because this is something that has happened in the US government sphere, because the term UFO, unidentified flying object, for the one person that doesn't know, has a bit of a dirty background, doesn't it? It's tainted with conspiracy theorists. And
I think dirty is a bit unfair. It's more a pop culture term for aliens.
Yes. Right?
Whereas UAP means unidentified aerial phenomenon, which, I mean, it's exactly the same as unidentified flying object.
That's what I thought as well.
It's just a way of not using the term UFO.
It's rebranded, isn't it?
Yeah, it's rebranding it just so it doesn't sound so pop culture.
Yeah, but it's quite funny if you replace lots of intelligence agencies' speeches about UAPs and replace it with UFOs, it does change the tone of it, even though I think the distinction is
There's no distinction there at all, really. Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
So I think the first thing to address is, well, is it possible? And physicists and astrophysicists in particular have been trying to tackle this question for many years. And of course, this leads us to the Fermi paradox, which is a contradiction between the high probability of the existence of extraterrestrial civilizations and the actual lack of evidence of contact with such civilizations. The premise being that, well, the conditions of life are in the universe. Why haven't we heard from anyone? There are Earth-like planets seemingly out there, as far as we know. The probability seems to suggest it. And we have increasingly found planets that seem to resemble Earth, obviously. It's very difficult to...
Well, yeah, we've got oxygen atmospheres and high amounts of water. So, you know, it seems like every other week we're, new Earth-like planet discovered, super Earth discovered, 500 billion trillion squiggles away. And it's like, okay, great. That's wonderful. What does that mean to me? Nothing.
And I think that this is one of those things that you can get most people to agree on, that, well, the likelihood that there is life out there in a universe which is close to being infinite, at least from a sort of colloquial sense. So it would almost be far, far more unlikely to say there isn't life out there.
I'm going to come down hard. No, there's not life out there.
Really?
Yeah. Bigfoot, yes. Aliens, no.
I don't believe you.
The skepticism, really? That's ridiculous. Look, I've got lots of pictures of Bigfoot. You haven't got a single picture of aliens.
Well, we'll see about that.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
But yes, this is obviously named after the physicist Enrico Fermi, who was one of the first physicists to formally pose the question, although I'm sure people had thought of it before him. It's not exactly a difficult thing to think of,
sure,
is it?
Sure, but doesn't matter, does it?
Well, that's true. So part of this Fermi paradox is the Drake equation, which is a sort of estimate for the number of intelligent civilizations that might exist just purely in the Milky Way based on various factors. And here we have it on screen. So it might be a bit difficult for some people if they've not seen lengthy equations, but I spent a lot of time at university.
I mean, it looks quite simple. I tried to find
one that gives it a nice breakdown, but sometimes it can look quite complicated.
We're just going to multiply all of these things. It's like, okay, well, that's not sophisticated. But like, the thing is, it's entirely dependent on the numbers that you plug into this equation.
I imagine if it were decimals, it would actually end up, the multiplication would make the likelihood less rather than more, because of course, if you
Yeah, that's true.
But yes, if you're listening, it says the number of detectable civilizations in the Milky Way equals the rate of star formation, the fraction of stars that have planetary systems, the number of habitable planets per solar system, the fraction of habitable planets that host life.
Right, that's the one.
Mm-hmm.
As far as we can tell, it's literally one planet.
Well, so far, yeah.
Yeah, and it's our planet.
Mm-hmm. The fraction of life that is intelligent, and the fraction of intelligent life that develops technology to communicate its existence, and the average length of time civilizations are detectable. Of course, many of these dimensions are very speculative. Yes. And the intention of the Drake equation wasn't to accurately calculate to a degree of mathematical certainty how many planets are out there. It was more a thought-provoking exercise. It was meant to stimulate conversation. But nevertheless, I mean, it is good to play around with it and see what kind of numbers it puts out. And depending on who's using the equation and what numbers they put in, it's anywhere between 1,000 and 100 million. So that is a ridiculous range, isn't it? I mean, it couldn't be larger. So,
but the thing is, if it is of a very large order of magnitude, Fermi seems to have a point. Well, where are they then?
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't see aliens around, I'm going to guess it's actually not of this giant order of magnitude.
Well, that's one potential explanation. There are many, and we are going to go through them. And I think that there are actually many good reasons why they wouldn't want to reach out to us.
Sure. Yeah.
So
we could be an alien zoo.
That's entirely possible.
Mm.
It's also worth mentioning as well, of course, that the Milky Way contains 100 to 400 billion stars. So
Jesus Christ.
Out of that number,
yeah.
That is still quite a small proportion, even though 100 million doesn't sound like a small number to us, does it?
Mm.
But yes, one thing that was in the news recently was this from The Independent, coherent radio signal detected from alien planet, prompting hope in search for life. And this was one day ago at time of recording. So I'm just going to read a little bit from it. It's not quite how it's presented in the title, funnily enough, but it's still interesting. So it says, the signal suggests that the planet has its own magnetic field, which is thought to be central to sustaining life on a particular world. On Earth, our magnetic field helps protect us from high energy particles and plasma that are blasted from the sun. As such, any alien life is likely to depend on being protected by a similar field. But now researchers have struggled to confirm whether distant rocky planets have magnetic fields of their own, and therefore we found it difficult to say how likely a planet might be able to support life. Now there is a new candidate, YZ-SETI-B, a rocky planet that orbits a star about 12 light years away, has sent repeating radio signals that come from a star and seems to be affected by the planet. So I presume that what is going on here is that stars innately emit radio signals, and the magnetic field of this planet has interfered with it in a way that we can tell that it's a magnetic field based on the signal that we've received. So
it's
suggesting
not a coherent radio signal.
No.
Because that implies there's a message in it.
I know. It's as I said, it's a dishonest representation, but it's still an important article because it points to the fact that, yes, there does seem to be
a planet with a magnetic field. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's something in the news that was recent, I thought it'd be good to point to. So I wanted to move on to some potential explanations as to why we haven't already been contacted, because I think, at least in my mind, we've established that it's quite likely that there could be life outside of planet Earth.
Okay, so my first explanation is aliens don't exist.
Okay, that's one potential one. I don't know why you're being so sceptical.
Because I'll explain why later, but it's just, if the universe is so vast and there's been, 13 billion years that we've had,
mm-hmm.
If it hasn't happened by now, I don't think it's going to happen.
But the Earth only, I believe, formed about 4 billion years ago. So it took a very long time for there to be planets to form in the first place. And one of the hypotheses is that, we're one of the first to develop. It's not that it's something that's necessarily rare in the conditions of the universe, but simply that we beat every other civilization into existence, which is possible because
totally So there are no other aliens, and like we're the first mm-hmm. living planet in the universe. That's almost worse.
I think it's worse. it's really worse. Depressing, yeah. isn't it? Because it almost seems to me like all of this space travel that I'm a big supporter of and a fan of, and I think it's really useful stuff. Yeah. It seems like it's almost for nothing. Sure, we could colonize other planets, but not being able to find anything.
Well, you want to go out there and find some sort of monolith on Mars, right? And be like,
2001: A Space Odyssey is my favorite film of all time. Yeah,
exactly, right?
I want the monolith.
Yeah, exactly. But in fact, it's just rock out there. It's just literally nothing but infinite amounts of rock spaced almost infinite distances apart, mm-hmm. and it's cold and empty. Do you want to go out there? No, not really. What was the point? There's no
Well, it reminds me of that study that they did recently with British people saying they wouldn't even go to the moon if they could guarantee safety.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
I think that's ridiculous.
It's just rocks.
But I'd love to go to the moon, even if it's just to get a nice view of the Earth. It's still one of those things where you're going to remember that for the rest of your life. It's not like, oh, how was your holiday? Oh, I only went to the moon. Oh, it's boring. There wasn't much to do.
There's nothing there. What did you do? I spent 2 weeks wandering around on the moon.
But the nothing is the appeal.
Okay.
As in, it's so far removed from our own perspective on this world that...
I side with the 50% of people who are like, no, there's nothing there. There are aliens there, okay?
By the end of these two contemplations, you're going to be convinced. You're going to be going up to the moon. You're going to be looking for Martian civilizations up there.
Thing is, right, I'm very much on the I want to believe train. Mm-hmm. Right? I would like to believe that that is the case. But I just can't seem to bring myself to actually believe in something like this. Like, it's a giant empty universe. That's the most realistic explanation. And the thing is, it's also the most boring, and that's mm-hmm. how life tends to be. You know, that's how every frontier we pass, we're like, oh, are there dragons and aliens? No, there's nothing. Oh, there's nothing over here as well. Oh, there's nothing over here. And so we've totally demystified the entire universe, and there's just nothing of any interest.
There's still lots of mysteries.
There might be
some
bacteria on an asteroid somewhere. Oh, brilliant.
That's alien life.
That is, no, not until it's passed through the birth canal of a woman is it life. I'm going to go and abort it, okay?
So non-human animals, not living things.
Yeah.
That's Carl 2023.
Well, they've been through birth canals. but the point is, you know, it's going to be very mm-hmm. uninteresting to the average person.
So so hang on a minute. If someone has a cesarean, they're not a living thing.
You're taking this
a
lot more literally than I was than
I'm
I meant
being
to.
Needlessly pedantic, of course.
But the point being, like people want to talk to an alien civilization, discover mm-hmm. what it is that their perception of the universe is, and gain greater understanding of themselves and the universe around them. But we're not going to have that. That's the thing. I really don't think that's going to happen. I'm far more inclined to believe that the government will fake it using holograms than I am that we'll actually meet an alien.
Okay, well...
I don't want to be a horrible skeptic. I'm happy to indulge all of this. But like when it comes to it, I just don't believe, man. And it's terrible. Well,
that's setting me up with a challenge now. So
yeah, it is, yeah.
I like that. So back to the explanations. Of course, this is probably the one you agree with the most. The rare Earth hypothesis is that Earth-like planets with the conditions necessary for the emergence of complex life and intelligence in the universe are more rare than we thought, which is, yes. I think, probably your position, isn't it?
But it seems to be there's only mm-hmm. one.
What do you mean?
An Earth-like planet.
Oh, right, yes, of
life.
Course, yeah.
Yeah.
As far as we know, yeah. So another one is the self-destruction hypothesis that technological civilizations tend to self-destruct. And the reasons often listed are nuclear war, environmental destruction, and artificial intelligence. I think out of the three of those, the artificial intelligence is probably the most likely, in my opinion.
But the thing is, then you'd expect to see some sort of galactic AI empire, right? Because if it's just this self-propagating AI with no real life behind it.
But I think that the nature of AI would not necessarily make it. It might not have an innate curiosity that might drive it to the stars. It might turn the planet into a giant supercomputer and call it done. And they're like, well, that's it.
I mean, that's entirely possible. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. But you'd expect some sort of remnants of all of this, some sort of debris, mm-hmm. something, you know, like, we're pumping out like radio and TV signals into the universe. and we have been doing for like 70, 80 years or whatever. And so it's like, okay, so eventually we'd expect to be able to, you know, accidentally pick up some, you know, Alpha Centurion TV with these aliens being like, no, we're going to nuclear war with this other.
I mean, I don't know whether TV channels can be picked up in outer space. I imagine.
You know what I mean, though, right? Like when
there
like,
are certainly signals.
We've got radio signals from here asking, what's alien radio then?
Mm-hmm. So but there to be none. Fair, it's been, in a universal sense, it's been quite a short amount of time that we've been emitting these signals.
Sure.
In that the distances they've got to travel, even to the nearest star, is still great.
But in the universe is 13 billion years old. Like, there are going to be planets that are literally billions of years older than Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Where are their signals?
You know, maybe they've still not reached us yet. They could be so far away that the civilization could be a billion years old, far more advanced than we are, but the signals still not reach us because of the sheer amount of distance that they've got to travel.
And there's something even worse about that. Mm-hmm. So, okay, you know that there is literally on the other side of the universe an alien civilization, but you literally just can't get there.
You can't interact with them. It's quite frustrating in a way, even though I think that so interacting with such a civilization might be a mistake.
Sure, I agree. And that's another point. I don't really want aliens. Like, what if they're like Vogons or something?
Well, they would love our planet because we've already got so many bureaucrats here.
Exactly. But then they'd demolish it to make way for an intergalactic highway. So, like, you know, it's just more, it's just a simpler life to not have aliens in it. I think that's why I'm skeptical about it.
I think that's a fair. It would be simpler. That is
having immigrants
perfectly reasonable.
Bloody aliens.
Yeah, illegal aliens, already bad enough.
Yeah.
Another one, which you mentioned earlier, is the zoo hypothesis that they're aware of our existence but choose not to make contact to preserve our isolation. I think that this is one of the more compelling ones to my mind. If aliens do exist, that would probably be a good reason not to interact, because they want to leave our culture to develop to a point where it could be comparable. Because if you reach out to a civilization where the power dynamic is so out of whack, it's going to interfere with how that civilization develops.
Yep.
They could, in theory, put all of their resources into weapons, which then could be used on one another and wipe them out.
We don't know that this isn't some sort of human reservation. Mm-hmm. Where we're running human casinos for the aliens. But this is the thing.
What do you mean human
well,
casinos?
Well, like the Native Americans.
You know? Oh, right.
Like, you know, we're on the reservation. But the thing is, like, we don't know. Like, we say zoo, but that the assumption behind that is relatively benign. But we don't know. That,
it's more a nature preserve. I think zoo's an uncharitable
term.
But the
intention behind it is benign. We don't know. Let's assume there were aliens and they were visiting Earth, and they had been probably for some time, and they wanted to keep their presence from us secret for some reason. We have no idea what those reasons might be. We have no idea. Like this, they could be keeping us trapped in a position of eternal torment, and we just don't know it because we're just used to the torment. And they could be draining our psychic energies from the torment or something. I don't know. You know, like we assume that they would have some sort of beneficent intention, but like, there's no particular reason to think that they would have the same sort of moral structure as us.
I like to think of it with a bit of an analogy to, it's like what a dog thinks its owner thinks.
Yeah.
And that is a bit demeaning to human intelligence, but the principle is still there.
We're dealing with super advanced aliens.
Yeah. So, but a dog doesn't understand whether you're doing something for its own good or not. If you're taking it to the vet, it just thinks you're being mean to it because it sees the consequences of what it's doing rather than the bigger picture.
Well, actually, I've got to say, I've had pets I had to take to vets for, and they've never been resentful afterwards. So I assume that they get the idea that this is necessary, you know, because you're sympathetic to the thing once undergoing the operation and stuff. So I get the thing they understand it a bit better than we give them credit for that, but.
I've had dogs before when I've caught them trying to eat chocolate and then I take it off of them and tell them off and then they sit in the corner and sulk.
Okay, so that's like, going to kill you.
Yeah.
Idiot. Yeah.
But it is that sort of thing whereby we might not be at a point where we can understand their intentions to a degree, a civilizational sense. I'm sure that individuals could, in theory, understand the intentions of the aliens. They can't be that complicated, can they? Really?
What if they are? What if they're literally beyond human understanding? There's an actual mm-hmm. IQ barrier here, you know?
It is entirely possible.
I mean, what if it turns out that actually we're the product of aliens and we've created as slaves to mine gold, like David Icke was saying? Like, what if that actually turns out to be true?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, chaos. Absolute chaos.
But I think that sort of argument is quite unlikely, because surely it's easier just to make the gold yourself than create an entire civilization to mine it on a planet.
Yeah, but what if they create an entire civilization because they like to see us suffer?
Well, you would wonder how they got to be a civilization in the first place with that sort of mindset, because to be a civilization, you need a certain amount of pro-sociality to sure. your nature.
Sure, with our own in-group. We're very social to our own. This is what the Romans and the Assyrians were like. They had like very parochial moralities. And so they themselves had laws and governance and things. But they would just enslave other races. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But even in hunter-gatherer times, people had respect for animals. They might have relied on them for food, but they still honoured them and even worshipped them. Sure. So,
but the Romans used to kill them in arenas.
Yeah, well, the Romans aren't the best example of human morality, to be fair.
And sure, but there's no reason that the aliens wouldn't have that sort of morality either.
I think that there's a... The more technological and apparently civilized a society gets, the more more the individuals have to depend on one another, and therefore there's a selection pressure to be more and more pro-social.
Surely the point of technology is so we're less dependent on our fellow man.
Well, you would think, wouldn't you? I would like it to be that.
I would think that, yeah. But anyway, the only thing I'm saying is the aliens probably wouldn't share our moral values.
Sure. Another hypothesis is that other civilizations may use different modes of communication than the technology we have, and therefore we can't pick up their signals. And they might not be deliberately emitting ones that we can pick up because there's no one there to listen to them.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair.
Mm-hmm. Another one, which I think is highly possible as well, is that interstellar travel is too difficult.
Mm.
And I think with our current understanding, this is quite likely because we don't know.
This is the blue balls hypothesis.
The what?
The blue balls hypothesis. So how does that get its name? Over there, but we just can't go and visit them.
Oh, right, I see.
We just can't do it.
It meant what I thought it meant.
Yeah.
And I think that's very likely. There's the radio silence hypothesis that they just avoid using radio signals specifically because they can travel quite far and they're not very covert.
Mm-hmm.
The evolutionary hurdle hypothesis that intelligent life might not be a particularly natural outcome of evolution, not that necessarily that it's been created, although that is possible as well, but that it's a series of improbable events that narrows the possible intelligent civilizations in the universe significantly. And the Harvard paleontologist Stephen Jay Gould asserts that if the conditions of the Cambrian explosion, which was about 538.8 million years ago, this is when all major animals started appearing in the fossil record, if that were slightly different, intelligent human life would not have evolved.
This, I think, is actually quite a strong argument.
Yes.
Because the other question is, okay, well, where are the non-hominin intelligent life forms? Like, why is it literally just these upright apes? Not even our other great ape cousins create civilization. I suppose you could argue that non-human Homo sapiens sapiens hominins hominids, I don't know which one.
Hominids is probably the right term, right?
Are not capable of civilization. But, I mean, they had, very basic technology.
Neanderthals were perfectly civilized. They had art. They seemingly had language. They had...
Is that the barrier of civilization? If we assume it is, it's only hominids that have ever had anything that we can really call civilization.
Mm.
Right? And so it's like, even on a planet that's full of life, and it's been, like how old is life on Earth? It's got billions of years at this point.
I think so. I should have really looked this up.
Yeah,
I think so.
But it's really old. Like you've got, where were the dinosaur civilizations? why not? Why not? What prevents them from being a dinosaur civilization?
Well, I think that... the way that natural selection operates, you only need to be able to survive. You don't necessarily need, I hate this word, by the way, you don't need to thrive in the same way that humans do. You only need to have enough food, resources, access to the opposite sex to pass on your genes.
Sure, and but having more intelligence is obviously a natural advantage, right, over others.
But it's also very energy intensive in that your brain is about 1 or 2% of your body mass, but consumes about 20% of the calories. So it's very energy intensive, and to animals living in a more wild environment, that energy intensity actually is a detriment rather than a benefit.
Sure, but that's an argument that humans would never have developed big brains, right? Mm-hmm. And they did. So it must have an advantage that is useful for animals in the wild, right? So there's no particular... I mean, look at some of the intelligence of like some ravens is crazy, actually, right? So and these are the direct descendants of the dinosaurs. So there's no particular reason to think that these animals actually couldn't have developed a level of intelligence that allowed them to start constructing things.
I think one of the key things about human evolution that made us the way we are is that there was a level of suffering that forced us to innovate to a degree that other species might not have undergone, in that we were monkeys forced out of trees by more competitive monkeys and forced to walk bipedally on the African savanna out of our own habitats. And therefore we had to develop broad social groups and things like that. It kind of...
But other animals have got broad social groups and they're forced out of their habitats and they suffer. Like this happens to all animals, right? So I don't agree that that's necessarily unique to humans, but I do think that like intelligent life is probably not a probable or natural outcome. Mm-hmm. Like it's an incredibly unlikely thing.
Well, we do have a relatively large sample just on Earth, don't we? Yeah. In that, as you say, there could have been multiple intelligent species. Yeah. But then I don't think, although our intelligence is clearly the highest on Earth, there are animals with comparable levels of intelligence. We're not... There's not a massive...
Dolphins.
No.
They are quite smart, though.
They are supposedly smart, but I've not done nearly as much research into them. But things like chimps, bonobos, orangutans, like gorillas can learn hundreds of words in sign language. Mm-hmm. Their limitation is that they don't have the lowered larynx and the tongue that can articulate language. But if they had that adaptation... which in humans it's seemingly adapted to make deep, loud noises to scare off predators. That's how it seemingly evolved, because stood on our hind legs and making a loud noise is quite intimidating. It's why animals like bears stand on their hind legs, they make themselves bigger and then roar at people because it scares them away, right?
Yeah.
And it would definitely work on me.
Yeah.
But if they didn't have that biological limitation, there's no reason why they wouldn't be able to talk to us.
Yeah, no, I agree. But they would also have an IQ of about 30. So
there are people that are more stupid than that.
There are. but yeah, I'm happy to go along with this one. I think that actually intelligent life to the level that we are at is actually so phenomenally unlikely. It's just not... It was phenomenally unlikely on a planet teeming with life.
Yeah.
And then every other planet basically isn't teeming with life. You know, they're like, oh, we found a bacteria on an asteroid. It's like, oh, brilliant. You know, how long until it sends me an email?
Is that really what you want aliens to do? They're going to clog your inbox?
Well, I'm happy to hear from them, you know, as long as they're not spamming me.
Well, there we go. If you're an alien watching.
But the point is, you know, how long until that sends a radio signal? It's like, it's never going to do it. Like, literally never, you know. Hundreds of billions of years are going to pass, and that's still going to be a bacteria on a rock. So, yeah, I'm on with this one. It's just not likely.
I do think that it's one of the ones that is the most likely. Another explanation, I'm getting towards the end now, is that the cultural differences may be so vast that there isn't an incentive for the aliens to reach out to us, in that their goals and values might be so different to ours that they just see no reason to do it.
Do you reach out to the ant's nest in your back garden?
Sometimes. Ants are quite interesting. They have really weird sort of group behaviours where they, it's almost like they're perfect biological machines. Mm. That's how I kind of see them in a way. Yeah.
And that could be how aliens see us, right? So when like some guy gets kidnapped and anal probed, like, you know, that literally is you like capturing an ant and putting it in a bottle. You know, that might be, well be how they view us.
There's an Epstein's Island somewhere in space.
Possibly.
I'm always very confused when you hear about people being abducted by aliens, whether these accounts are to be believed. Mm. Why is it always weird invasive medical surgeries? That's...
Yeah.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.